Fed Talks is a weekly podcast featuring federal program staff from the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia's public schools. For many individuals, the purpose of federally funded programs is unknown. Through its Fed Talk series, the Georgia Department of Education is sharing more information on the ways Georgians are leveraging federal funds to serve Georgia's students and Georgia's schools. Welcome to Fed Talks. Welcome back, everyone. This is our third Fed Talks episode in this series on summer programming, and we have a large group with us today again. As we did the last one, we had folks from our federal programs who were sharing information, and today we have some staff from school nutrition at the Georgia Department of Education, along with some other federal program staff, who we're going to talk today about summer programs and feeding options, if that's not the correct way to say it, maybe food that's available to the kids in the summer.
Well, let's ask them. How do you say it?
Yeah, that's a good question. What's the correct way? Because sometimes we say summer feeding. Is that correct?
We're good with summer feeding, okay. Yes, because that's exactly what's happening.
All right.
Well, we are feeding right children out there in the summertime.
Excellent. We'll let you introduce yourselves then.
So let's go ahead and do some introductions.
Okay. I'm Janine Starr. I'm one of the program managers in the School Nutrition Division.
And I am Kathy Peavy, and I serve as the Assistant State School Nutrition Director in the School Nutrition Program.
Excellent.
And I am Ken Banter, the Title I Program Manager.
I'm Megan Frick. I get to work in all things communications for the DOE.
And I'm Israel Cortez with the Migrant Education Program.
And you heard me. So obviously, Craig, I'm here as well. So.
Right. So, and I'm sorry I didn't officially introduce
thanks,
you, Craig.
John. Yes.
Craig Gears, our director, our associate for federal programs, and I'm John White. And Megan, Craig, and I are serving as the moderators today for this discussion. So let's turn it over to you, Megan. You can start with the first question.
All right. Well, I'll pass this to our school nutrition folks first. Can you guys tell us a little bit about just what options? You know, we know that sometimes during the summer, there's a concern that students may lose access to that breakfast and lunch that they may be receiving at school. What options are available for those students and their parents during the summer?
Okay, well, there's several options. So let me start with what we call the Seamless Summer option. And it's offered by us at the Georgia School Nutrition Program. It's one of our programs. And also, then there's also the Summer Food Service Program, and that's operated by the Georgia Department of Early Care and Learning, which we refer to as DECAL often, or Bright from the Start. Now, both of these programs will offer meal service at various locations across the community, naturally at school sites, but other areas will include parks, recreation centers, ball fields, Section 8 housing, churches, vacation Bible schools, anything like that. Also, lots of times transportation is offered at these feeding sites, so kids can be transported to those. And they're also, we have a lot of mobile feeding sites that has increased greatly in the state. Lots of school buses. You'll see a lot of collaboration with transportation departments within LEAs, the local education agencies, to get meals to the kids or either to get the kids, to the meals, either way.
So I have to ask a question right away on mobile.
I didn't know that.
How do families and parents know about that?
All the schools are required by federal law to advertise where summer meals are going to be located.
So typically, is that on their website or they send stuff home?
It can be on their website. They will advertise in the local newspapers, on the radios, especially in our rural areas.
Right.
That's how they get a lot of the information out. When I was in the school system, we used to do a lot of advertising right before school would end, and send out a lot of notices to families so that they would know, where the meals are going to be located.
So, I mean, can you generalize a little bit? Is it every school district in Georgia usually offers something?
Oh, just about every one. Now, that will go into your section, but at the first of every year, we usually collaborate with Bright from the Start.
Right.
To see where their sites are, where our sites are. So we try to cover the entire state in one way or the other.
And that's the goal,
that
children have the opportunity to have meals, breakfast, whether it's a breakfast, a.m. snack, as we call it sometimes, lunch, or a p.m. snack. And those options are all available in a community depending upon the needs of the community. So if you're asking in reference to like the transportation, that is not offered in all communities, right. But if feasible, a bus in some communities will go and pick up students, bring them to a location, because the goal is to feed the kids. And if transportation is an issue and they address that, again, as Janine said, that collaboration, then they in turn can pick them up, bring them to the site, carry them home. Or that mobile bus actually stops, the children get on the bus, consume a meal, have some supervision, some interaction with adults, mini programs, read a book, have that opportunity to have another little bit of action with the student that has to do academically, and then those students finish the meal and get off. One thing I'd like to say is for the summer meal program, students must consume the meal on site. This is not a grab and go. That is a federal regulation. Hence the reason the buses pick them up and bring them to a site, or stop, sit, allow them to get on the bus and eat.
So what's on the menu, typically?
Well, the menu depends upon the local district.
Okay.
And of course, that also depends upon the location. As you have various locations across a community, you've got clientele that desire different types of meals. They are sometimes hot meals, sometimes what we call brown bag cold meals. And it all depends. That is a local decision, so that that local education agency can determine what are the needs and what's feasible.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, is there an age limit? Who can participate in these meals? Do they have to be enrolled in the local school system?
No. This is for children, as we would call them, and students, but not just students, up to the age of 18. Or if it is a knowledge that this student is still in school even after the age of 18 for some type of reasoning, then they also are allowed the meal, yes. So it is not an adult program, even though many districts also offer an adult meal at a cost, just like the day. Summer feeding, as we sometimes just reference it, it's just business as usual. The meal continues into the summer.
And why is it so important to make sure that option is there for students and families?
Well, we want to make sure these children have nutritious meals all year, even when school's out. A lot of these students, our meals are their meals for the day. So once school's out, there's no place for them to eat. So that's why it's so important to keep that going through the summertime. And I have had principals, one of my principals years ago, I remember him telling me that it would take a full 6 weeks, and then he could see those kids had regained their nutritional balance, you know, over the summertime, because that was such a poor area in our state. So I always kept that story, you know, with me.
Wow, wow. Ken, how about Title I? Can Title I funds be used to support these kinds of programs?
Yes, in our second podcast in this series, we talked about how federal programs may have summer learning opportunities for students. In conjunction with that, a school district will usually contact their school nutrition director to see if there's a program available that they can tie into, so that as these students come to the summer programs, that they will have either a breakfast, maybe a snack, or even a lunch, depending on the hours that summer program runs. And so in the example I gave in the earlier second podcast, that this district that I was in yesterday, they are planning a summer program. They're going to transport the kids, and they're working with their food nutrition director to do a breakfast, a snack, and a lunch, as I just mentioned. So working with the food nutrition director and the federal program is really keen to the success of the program. So not only will they get academics, but they'll get something nutritious as well.
That's great, and it's great to hear about that collaboration. Israel, how does the migrant education program, how does summer feeding play into that program?
Well, I'm going to have to reveal the knowledge that I have about the summer feeding program, but two things. I think that for the migrant education program is a valuable piece and it's a valuable tool to have. For one, is that we have families that come during the summer. And I'm very more interested in knowing the districts that provided the sites and who provides the transportation, because for most of the time, a lot of our districts that get some of these families, our families don't live in the little village or little community or whatever. They live in very rural areas. That sometimes transportation is very difficult for them to get to the location where there might be a summer feeding program. So that might be something that I'm very interested in knowing, who provides transportation, the sites that provide a summer feeding program. But the other thing that I want to mention here is in the migrant education program and the summer feeding program, we have worked with some of these programs for many, many, many years ago. And one great benefit of this is that there was a district, or it's still a district there, that is one of the largest districts that has migrant students, families. At one point, I will say 20, 25 years ago, we were serving up to 600 migrant students in the school building. So we had the whole entire building open for a summer school program for just migrant kids. The summer feeding program came into an existence that when what happened was we were using migrant funds to open up the kitchen, the cafeteria. We had to contract with everybody in the dining place, you know, to feed the migrant children. But when the program came into existence, it allowed us to use the migrant funds to extend more days to summer school. So we used those funds to provide more academic days, and the summer feeding program saved us tons of money.
Lots of opportunities.
Yes, very much.
Kathy, back to what you said, because that intrigued me about they actually will read books with the kids when they get on the bus. What are some other examples that you're aware of, or how does that work exactly?
Well, you've got the staff, the school nutrition staff, mm-hmm. most of the time that is also on the bus, because you've got to have some supervision,
sure.
and you need to have some meal service. And, you know, of course, through this, the health codes are still applicable even on a school
right.
bus.
Yeah.
So that staff is on the bus. It's just a mobile lunchroom, so to say. But during that time, as you have students consuming, we all know that meal time is a very important time for socialization. You'd like to encourage proper socialization. And with that, they read books, they have discussions on various topics. I've seen some school districts have a topic of the week, so that it's almost a mini classroom for the students. They feel that they are valued as they get on this bus. It's not just, I'm here getting a meal and we want you to hurry up and get off.
Right.
There's that value of, you are important. Thank you for coming and thank you for joining us.
If I may say something, Craig,
yeah.
John, I'd like to see if you can help the migrant education program a little bit. And I will do the same thing. I will approach it from the school district to encourage them to seek and to look for those migrant children. But if you wouldn't mind, from your end, if you would kind of encourage the districts that, because this is what happens. A lot of times our migrant children come during the summer months, and sometimes the school districts don't know anything about them. Well, we might know who they are and where they live, and we do have situations where migrant children are left in little motels. While their parents are working, they might leave a 12-year-old or even sometimes a younger kid babysitting the younger kids, and they're just sitting locked up in a room. And what an ideal idea here to have someone, if there is a bus, that can bring a lunch to them, a little sack lunch. Sometimes those kids probably will only get one meal. And that's when the parents arrive or come home late in the evening, which is sometimes 7, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night. So sometimes the kids eat whatever they can feed themselves. So having something like this for those kids, that would be an ideal project. So if you wouldn't mind encouraging the districts to reach out to the migrant education program, and I will also do the same thing to reach, you know, to encourage the districts to, you know, provide an opportunity for those kids that are here. Because sometimes they're here for maybe 2 days, maybe 6 weeks or 2 weeks.
And Israel, I'll share with you that I do know of a location, and actually it was when I was a local school nutrition director in a rural community. I knew of a pocket of students, and in the summertime, we did venture that bus down into that area. But it took a communication for them to feel that comfort mm-hmm. to come out to
right.
the bus.
Right.
And we continued to arrive. The first day, there was one child. The second day, two. Once that comfort level was reached by the students, That was a fabulous summer. We made a difference in the lives of some students to the point that I would have all staff beg, can I go today? Can I go to that particular site? So this is a great collaboration.
So let me ask you this, if community members want to find out more information about this, are there resources or websites that they can go to?
Well, yeah. We even have an app. It's called the Summer Meal Site Finder app.
Wow.
And so it's available to the public. And it's updated weekly by USDA. We at School Nutrition will send updates also on a weekly basis so the public can locate a site, but that'll be statewide. So that lets you know where any of the sites are. You have to text the word Food Georgia, it's FOODGA, to 97779, and you'll get the location information.
That's great.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Great. You can also call the National Hunger Line, and that number is 1-866-3-HUNGRY. Then we also have another opportunity if you would like to go to the webpage www.foodfindergeorgia.org. That gives you year-round meal service that is not only school nutrition, but other types of meal service that families can locate.
And I think something cool about Food Finder, Kathy, is that was actually created by a graduate of Georgia Public Schools.
Nice.
One plug I want to put in here is we actually work every year with some public and private partners, so us and then DECAL, the Department of Early Care and Learning, the Public Library Service, Georgia Public Broadcasting, to create kind of an online toolkit with summer resources, so resources for summer reading, learning, safety, and meals. So if parents go to georgiasummer.org, they can find the link to the summer meals sites that Kathy mentioned, and a lot of other resources as well.
That's great information.
Well, man, John, this was a lot of great information. Yeah, very
we
timely.
We appreciate you guys coming and listening or being with us today, and thank you, audience, for listening. And we encourage you to rewind a little bit and listen to those websites and those different apps that came up so you can definitely find that more information. So, everyone, we'll see you again next time in our next podcast series. Again, to the group, thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Yeah.